here or volunteer 3 hours or more to the station.
Could you just hold that right there for me, please? WBAI New York, it is 11 o'clock. You're listening to Labrish. My name is Hapte Selassie, and with me in studio is Sean Rhodes, who is the producer of this segment or this edition of Labrish. And with him also is Andrea Fishman, who is of the Elections Committee of Concerned Friends of WBAI, Ray LaForest, who is a member of the Interim National Pacifica National Board, also a local advisory board member here in New York, and is a member of the WBAI committee. And with us by telephone is Carol Spooner, who is the secretary of the Interim Pacifica National Board. And we're, of course, discussing Pacifica. You can go ahead, Ms. Spooner.
All right. You can call me Carol.
Okay.
I'm happy with that.
Okay, Carol.
So 14 members of our local board are elected directly by the listeners, and 8 are elected by our KPFA staff directly by them. And so we have a 22-person local board. That's the model that we're beginning with to look at for other stations, and it can be amended or changed, so there will be some discussion about it. And then we will also need to determine who will elect the national board. Will all the national board members be elected by local boards? Will some be directly elected by listeners? Will some perhaps be directly elected by staff members? All of those questions are open for discussion at this point. I will say we've had 2 elections now of our KPFA local board and are beginning to get a feeling for how it works. I'm very happy with it on a couple of levels. I think it's extremely important for listeners and staff members to meet together and discuss issues concerning the station and to have a real role in station policy. Also, I should say that our KPFA model requires out of the listener-elected body of 14 that no less than 6 and no more than 8 can be of either gender, and no less than 6 nor more than 8 can be white Caucasian. So we're striving for racial balance and gender balance. It's written into our rules. And I'll stop talking. I've been talking too much.
But we're enjoying what you're saying. According to the settlement, as you mentioned, lab elections are to use the KPFA model as a starting point with modifications being made as necessary or as needed, as the text says in the settlement. For those who don't know, the KPFA lab elections used proportional representation. Now, Andrew, you have a unique way of explaining how proportional voting works. Which, by the way, is the system that's used in Ireland and other European countries. And I understand that's the system that also got Anne Clinton Powell into office. Could you share with us how proportional voting works and outline its strengths and weaknesses?
Well, my method for presenting proportional representation simply is not so unique. I mean, it's a description of the way the New England town councils were selected. The New England town councils were, the selectmen of the New England town councils were selected by proportional representation, actually. And the way they were selected was that all the members who were running to be on the New England town council stood up in a line at along the green, along the town commons. They arrayed themselves in a row, and the people who wanted to support the elections of the members of the council stood behind their first choice. And there was a mathematical calculation given the number of people who were running and the number of people who were voting of how many people you would need to get a seat on the council. So as soon as there were, let's say, 10 people lined up beside, behind one of the members of the council, and if one of the prospective candidates, one of the prospective members of the council, as soon as there were 10, let's say, that was the number that you required to, were required for you to obtain a seat, that person was considered elected, and all the extra people in line, if there were any, went and lined up behind their second choice. And this reshuffling went back and forth until there were 10 people behind every winning member of the council seat. So, in effect, if your first choice were elected, you got to pick the second choice. And if your second choice person were already elected and you were extra in line, you got to pick the third choice. And in this way, the council was elected, and everybody had, almost everybody had a voice in the majority votes, in the majority winnings of the council. In other words, the people who chose first also had a voice in who chose second or who was chosen third, and so on until the winners were elected.
There's another point too, Andrea, which is if somebody was eliminated in the first round, didn't have enough people behind them, the lowest vote getters, those people then would choose their second choice.
That's right. If it were necessary in order to elect the if there were still people needed to elect the remaining members of the council, then they would pick the lowest choice voters. Those, their second choice votes would be considered. That's true.
The idea is that it's not a winner take all, that it's not like the majority can elect all the seats. The principle is that all the various points of view, spectrum of opinion, will be able to get people on the body, on the board.
Right, that's what's important, is that people really genuinely have a voice in what's going on, and that you don't win. It's not a 51% majority rule, as slim as 51% to decide who would be on the council.
Andrew, you've been on the Elections Committee of Concerned Friends of WBAI since its inception, which was October or November 2000, I believe. And I know you've done extensive research on bylaws, election models, voter and candidate eligibility, diversity, and the concept of community versus free speech radio.
My God, all of that.
You've been a busy lady.
That's why we need listeners on these committees.
In your opinion, what is the value of holding lab elections? How would that strengthen and preserve WBAI, and why should listeners get involved in this process?
Well, the most important reason to hold lab elections is to put the power in the hands of the people who really can protect the network and can protect the station. And those people are the listeners. We need strength in numbers right now, for one thing, to protect the station. The listeners are the people who really had great power in making sure that these legal settlements had weight and impact in the courts. They not only supported the settlements financially, but they supported them vocally. They supported them in numbers. They supported them in critiques. They supported them in anger and in rage and in insistence that we have a voice protected somewhere in the spectrum of our politics today. We have very little rights today. I mean, our rights have been whittled away slowly and quickly, depending how you look at it. Under the Clinton administration, it has been said that more anti-constitutional legislation has been passed into law than under any other president. Our civil liberties have been in jeopardy for quite a while. And a listener-sponsored station, WBAI and a listener-sponsored network, is the only listener-sponsored network that exists, is very important to have in place to protect and insist upon our right to the freedom of inquiry, our right to discover the truth of our situation, who we are, and what we need to survive democratically.
There are those who have expressed concerns that elections could allow the quote-unquote religious right to come in and take over WBAI and Pacifica, or that elections would not allow for a lab that's diverse and a representative of WBAI's various listening communities. How would each of you address these concerns? Ray, let's start with you.
Well, before we go into the technicalities, the logistical steps of actually carrying an election, I think that the principle involved here is the principle of participation, of owing, not just what Andrea mentioned of protecting, you know, because of a fear of a takeover, but even if there was no takeover, even if there was no enemy at the door, participation is the way to build democracy. That people owe a process that they have they have contributed to, their opinions were taken into, and if you look at any organization, people participate in something that they feel part of, and that is what guarantees that they will be involved in the future. So an election is clearly one of those forms of participation in not only identifying the individuals who have the best experience and who are the most responsive, who are the most open, and that are the most to contribute to leading this fight, with a small L, and also to help identify the issues that are important within the struggle. Because I believe that this is exactly through the discussions that the ideas are do not just looking at them in the static fashion, but specifically in the process of struggling for change that and implementing them and looking at it further, that has been called dialectical. So I'm less versed than Andrea and Paulie Carroll in terms of the specifics at this point. It is clear that nothing can be done without acting in a vacuum. Nothing can be done without any danger at all. But I'm confident that as we look at this process openly, and as the co-chair now of the New York subcommittee, my intention is specifically to create the space to allow people to contribute, you know, in a very open way, their previous thinking, their experiences in other similar type of institutions. That would allow us to control that process. And to me, this is our best potential, is to be involved and bring people who have interest in gaining and maintaining the system. Because I've read some of the discussion on this issue. There's nothing we can do, really, a priori, to prevent an organization, right wing organization, from deciding that they're going to pay their members to get it. If this is what they want to do, we cannot stop them. So our best response to that is to proactive involvement and to bring the community, the true broader community of Pacifica, into this process and allowing their voice to be heard. And again, my own experience is that these voices are quite reasonable and they are our best guarantee, because this fight is truly theirs.
And to dovetail a point that you're making here is that it's not just a top-down, producers or the staff or whoever instructing listeners on what we need. It's also getting information from the listeners on how we go about doing this. There's a two-way
Absolutely.
Process there. Andrew, how would you speak to this question about, you know, protecting the station and, you know, against this right-wing takeover and all that other stuff, which gets bandied about quite often?
Well, I have to say I agree with Ray, first off.
Mm-hmm.
He's absolutely right. I mean, the most important way to protect our rights and to protect our freedom is that we are informed and participating. And in fact, participating alone will inform us of a lot, will inform us of what we need, will remind us of what we have in our own experience that can contribute to the protection of the station, the protection of our rights.
How precious it is. Yeah. Precious it is.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, you cannot really talk about democracy unless you're talking about a participatory democracy. There really is no such thing other than a participatory democracy. You can question right now even whether we have a democracy in this country, because our participation is so cut off. And I think that listeners must feel part of the process in protecting the station, or they won't be listeners. I have to say, and the same is true for producers. I agree with Carol that many people did not know what was going on here. I must thank Habte Selassie for putting us on the show. I mean, when you ask how will this discussion be continued, what are the provisions for the continuing discussion and provision of information on the air, you are the first continuing provision of this information. You are the beginning of it. Okay. And we are very grateful to you. And we need... thank you. And we need, and especially given your position, that you will allow us to come on and have this discussion. I think that's very important. This is in the true spirit of what Lou Hill was trying to create when he started the station.
That
was a station of dialogue.
Dialogue between different views.
Points of view.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not to say that all points of view are equal. I mean, everybody's opinion is equal. but not all opinions are equal. And until we express them together and we jostle them about, can we find what is the political truth of our moment, or the artistic truth, or the creative truth? But, I mean, it's only through a discussion that we can arrive at this, at the truth discussion. And that's also what makes diversity so important at this station. I mean, diversity, you cannot have democracy here unless you have diversity. And that is another reason why we have been so intent on proposing proportional representation as the method for democratically carrying on the elections of the people who
explain
would be
that
on
a
the
bit.
Board.
Explain that a little bit.
Explain the concept of diversity?
Mm-hmm.
What would happen in proportional representation, as Carol emphasized also, is that every member of the community practically would have their voice felt, would have their position felt in the election. So a spectrum of discussion, a spectrum of opinion, a spectrum of perspective would be elected and represented on the board. And it's only through the opposition of different ideas and the ability to present an opposition of ideas rather than, let's say, a slate full of people all coming from the same perspective, that you can come up with solutions that will meet the needs of the entire community. And in fact, when you are discussing issues from various perspectives, and attempting to find a solution that will meet the needs of more than one perspective, more than one constituency, you may find that you will come up with a solution that meets many needs and is better than something you would have thought up on your own. So when you're hammering out your different points of view, you learn from each other and you create together and you come up with imaginative new possibilities. This is very important. And if you are in a stagnant situation where people are all coming from the same perspective, or the rule or the decision is comes from one perspective, you are weakened. You don't have the support of the entire community, nor do you have the imagination, creative fervor, or the stakes of everybody involved in protecting you and supporting you, whatever solution is arrived at.
Carol, do you have anything to add to this?
Well, Andrea is quite eloquent. I'm not sure I can add anything to that, except to say that my experience on the KPFA local board is heartening to me, because our local board was elected under proportional representation with our diversity criteria in place as well as to race and gender. And as a result, we do have on our board a very broad range of views about how to move forward at KPFA. And the discussion is sometimes heated and sometimes difficult, but I think through that discussion, we're learning a lot more about people's various concerns that I would never have thought of if I hadn't heard from somebody who really saw it differently from me. So I'm hopeful that these boards, especially once we get them in place and running for 2 or 3 years, you know, and get used to a new kind of culture of governance and discussion, open discussion, that we can really build from that. And you know, the original idea of Pacifica was one of dialectic between the broadcaster and the listener. And I'm very excited about the potential for that happening. I think we're all most interested in what comes out over the radio. We want programming that is vibrant and alive and informative and challenging, and that's what these boards are about, is how to do that better and how to preserve it so that we are never under threat of losing it again, which we definitely were under the former system, which was completely unaccountable to anybody. As to protecting against the right wing coming in and buying up enough memberships, the heck of a lot of memberships won. there are some protective measures that could be put in. We need to discuss this, but one would be to cycle the elections so that a third of the board is elected each year, which would make it far more difficult to do any kind of sudden takeover. Another would be to put some checks and balances in. The Pacifica Foundation is, under the law, it's actually a charitable trust. And the board of directors is responsible and legally required to make sure that it continues to fulfill its purposes. So we might put in some kinds of safeguards that would say that the national board, if a station were to go astray, which it could, let's suppose, that the national board could have some corrective authority. So there are ways to build in some safeguards and checks and balances into the system. Nothing is foolproof, but what we do know, I must emphasize, is that we very nearly did lose Pacifica in large measure because nobody had the power to stop it. We had a self-selecting board of directors that had made very, very, very significant changes throughout the network that WBAI listeners don't know about because it wasn't your station. It was the last one to have an experience of massive change. We very nearly lost it.
We also very nearly lost it because people didn't know what was going on. And that's what a participatory democracy would change. We would be informed and we would know what was going on. I mean, the fact that Habte didn't know perhaps of the history and that other producers don't know, let alone listeners, it's very important that that we have a participating informed electorate so we can be prepared.
And if I may interject there, that information has to come from several different sources.
Right.
That is, information cannot come, that is, if I'm the person who is providing the information, I can always skew the information in a particular way to keep people informed, but at the same time quite ignorant of everything.
Right.
That is, I can just give you the information that I want to give you, and I think that that is something that has to be very seriously considered, because if we're talking about participation, about information, because in every case, and I mean, we have press conferences every day with the president and the Pentagon and everybody else. Matter of fact, we have this case of this company called Enron.
Yes.
That was informing everybody. And all the information that they gave still kept people in the dark. So we have situations like that. And I think that when we're speaking about then a network that we're saying is supposed to be emblemic of free speech, that is really a consideration that we take. And my own particular watchword is this, you know, a couple of them is that, you know, I like to say that we all believe in oppression. The only time we have a problem with it is when we ourselves are oppressed. So I use that as my own watchword because, as I said, in terms of things here, I would like to see, yes, our listeners informed so that, yes, they can be involved in a particular way. But at the same time, that people will divest themselves of any particular self-interest that they may have and dig deep down and find their integrity. And within finding that, be willing, if we all say, because everybody is saying that we love Pacifica and we love WBAI and we believe in free speech and so on, that we begin to provide the kind of information that is being genuinely honest with ourselves and, as I say, and it being committed to the principles that we usually articulate with our tongues, but sometimes it doesn't make connection with our hearts, is to provide that type of information to listeners that will keep them informed and that will hopefully rouse them to participation in whatever this process is that will ultimately come into being, that will help to keep Pacifica, the term that is used so much, within the vision or the outlook of Mr. Hill.
Could I, you know, Jose, I want to say something about staff participation on our local boards.
Mm-hmm.
This is somewhat controversial. Some people feel that staff members would only act in their own self-interest to protect their airtime. That's something that's frequently said. And I want to say something about that, because I feel strongly that we need very, very, very strong staff participation. Most boards learn nothing about an organization except what management tells them. And through having strong staff, representation on the local boards, our local board at KPFA is learning a lot of things that we would never have heard from the manager. I think this is very important. And I wanted to talk a little bit, just briefly, about the beginnings of the, quote, Free Pacifica movement. It was started by staff people who were fired and banned in Los Angeles and Berkeley, who went to listeners and began talking to them. It was started by people like Lynn Gary and Mariah Gillardin and Vince Ivory and a number of people who had been on staff at KPFK and KPFA who lost their jobs in the early 90s and were trying to tell people what was going on. If we'd had at that time a strong membership of staff, elected staff people on the local boards, the local boards might have gotten a wind of the sniff, the smell, the stench of what was planned for Pacifica from hearing from staff members who were living with it on the job. And I think it's really important to have all of these perspectives in the mix.
Ray wanted to say something.
I wanted to say, to me, participatory democracy to me is important. And my conception of it is one, because you mentioned, Carol mentioned the board playing a protective role. But again, who is making up the board and who are the staff people? So not only I agree absolutely that the staffs should be part of staff council, they should have a voice, they should be part of the lab, but the very people who actually do get chose to become staff should reflect the need and the realities of the communities. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that one example that pops into my mind right now is Cuba. I mean, it's amazing that to many people how Cuba could survive after the collapse of the Soviet Union. But to people who know Cuba, it is not. Although we are amazed, but it is not an accident. And I am assuming that people might assume it's due to the amazing talent of the Cuban leadership, particularly Fidel Castro. And again, this is true. But if you look at it closely as you get to work with the Cuban system, you realize that the strength of it is, first, is that information is primary, and everybody has it. Nothing is taboo. Nothing is secret.
Yeah.
And I've had discussion with individuals within the grassroots level of the labor movement where these people know every single action that is taking place throughout the whole labor movement and throughout the government itself. And so there's a notion of fairness. And that is enforced. And the other notion of participation that people are involved in at a very lowest level, every cog, every decision making, they are truly in possession of that process. And to me, this is what we should seek to emulate, I guess you could say, is, and that is difficult, and particularly that we have right now to do an election with a time limit before we can implement that process of participatory. Full participation. So it's clear at this point that there's no absolute, solution, that we have to get the best one possible, and as we move on it, then we can improve as we go along.
Exactly. Andrew, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, I wanted to say that two other checks and balances, one is recall. If built into the elections process is the power of recall, then we have a much safer way to address any kind of takeover that doesn't conform with the mission of Pacifica. And that's a very important right, which must be secured and written into the elections bylaws, I believe. A second provision that could be written into the elections addresses what Ray just said, which is that the community must be represented in the programming. And I know that there are programming councils at a number of stations, and there is one I hear at the AI now that's been reactivated. But I think listeners need seats on the programming councils, and I would like to open the elections process to include listener elections to the programming councils.
OK. And I think also that the lab should be represented on the council, and at this point it's not.
All right.
At KPFA, we are, over the last year, have been negotiating with our programming council. We were able to secure 4 seats, one for a lab member and 2 for community members that are chosen by the lab, and an alternate. And this is a good beginning.
The beginning, good, yes.
At WBAI New York, it is 11:30. I'm begging for time. At midnight, the Midnight Ravers with Terry Wilson and the crew. Following Midnight Ravers at 3 o'clock, it will be the Light Show with Fred Geobold. Following that, the Hour of the Wolf. After that, As I Please with Simon Lokley, a nice program you should listen to. And then after following Simon Lokley, it is Any Saturday. And following that, it will be Al Lewis. And following Al Lewis, Radio Free Erin. Following Radio Free Erin will be this program. That is, what is the name of, I almost said Gut Bucket Matinee. But it is with Peter Beauchamp, I beg your pardon. And then following Peter Beauchamp at 6 o'clock will be the Liquid Sound Lounge, Jeannie Hopper. And following that, Morning Dew. Following Morning Dew at midnight will be the Underground Railroad. And then Night Flight. And then Through the Opera Glass and some other good programs. Here on a Sunday morning, I think, follows that. And I think that covers programming, as I say, for the next 24 hours. And some quite interesting programs. And I wish you would, as I say, keep your dial tuned right here to WBAI. And not only do we want you to listen to the programming here, but that we'd like for you to become involved. And it fancy me telling people to become involved in the process here as listeners, because I think that the station, the network, is entering something new in terms of an era, and I think for me it is imperative that people participate, but that you not participate just, let me say, for the sake of participation, but participate in a quite an informed way. And I think something that has not been said but ought to be understood is that the democratic process, or when we speak of free speech, I think that one of the things, particularly since it was mentioned earlier in the program, is that dissent has to be encouraged. WBAI New York at 11:32. The program is Labrish. My name is Hapte Selassie, and with us we have Mr. Ray, am I saying it? LaForest, I'm sorry, who is here from the Interim Pacifica Board. Andrea Fishman, who is with the Elections Committee here at WBAI, and Carol Spooner, and our coordinator, producer, Sean Rhodes. And you can take it away, Sean.
Open my mic, please.
I'd be very happy to once you open my mic. And I was going to give you a compliment and say that you did all of that by memory when you're going through the schedule. But maybe I should take my compliment back.
No, that was my way of silencing you.
All right.
Keeping you out. Keeping you out.
All right. Okay. Yeah, we've got a little bit of time left, so I like to take phone calls in the remaining time here. But Andrew, so let me give you the phone number. It's 212-209-2900.
Yeah, 2900.
Right.
Now, if I may, too, before all of this happens, one of the big concerns that I've heard over many years here at WBAI was always a concern that the station would be put up for sale. Is there anything being thought of, being done to write into laws, bylaws, whatever it is, to write into whatever it is that defines Pacifica, that none of its property can be sold?
It already exists. Go ahead, Carol.
I can answer that in the affirmative. The bylaws can specify, you can't specify that none of the property can ever be sold, but you can write into the bylaws that votes of approval must be obtained. So, for instance, We could put into the bylaws that the WBAI signal license could never be sold without the vote of approval of the members, being the listeners. That would be a pretty strong safeguard for the WBAI license. That's not currently in the bylaws, but it could be.
Or it should be.
Yeah, I believe so.
You know, because I think that if that is a concern, then that something ought to be done then to allay or to remove it as a possibility altogether, especially if people are in the process of writing new rules and regulations for the organization.
We do know that the former board was very interested in selling WBAI and KPFA. The reason being that those broadcast licenses are in the commercial spectrum and grandfathered in, so we have non-commercial stations on holding commercial licenses.
Mm-hmm.
So they could be sold to commercial broadcasters, and they're worth a lot of money. They were looking at selling these licenses in order to go into other kinds of technology. Now, one thing we do need to be looking at is maybe at some future date that radio broadcasting won't be the technology for reaching the masses of people that it is today. I don't know. I mean, we need to be looking into the future.
The key question for me, Carol, though, is that this process of attempting to dispose of the resources of this the network was being done without the public discussion.
That's absolutely right.
That's
it was outrageous. And they denied it.
Because, in effect, if we have bylaws that say that we cannot sell, another board could come and change the bylaws.
Right.
So you know, there's nothing you can do that prevents it forever. The question is, what we need is to set up something that it cannot be done unless this is the need and the desire of the majority of the participants here.
That's right.
Okay. Andrew, you want to say something quickly before we go to
yes,
the phones?
Yes, I did. I wanted to say that we're all seem to be agreement here in terms of the importance of participatory democracy, and what is really required in addition to that is participation of the listeners in terms of the programming, participation in terms of these discussions, and in terms of an ongoing vigilance about the station and an ongoing discussion about the vigilance of the station. And there are a number of listeners activist listeners in all of the station areas right now who have been discussing a plan for a weekly program on governance issues to be nationally instituted and coordinated at Pacifica. The national simulcast that happened, that everyone was so excited about, is exactly what we've been talking about for 2 months, a national discussion among all five station areas for hopefully 3 hours a week. We've talked to board members about this, general managers about this. There's widespread interest and recognition of the importance of such a discussion. And the Pacifica Matters Collective, which includes members in all of the station areas right now, Washington, D.C., we've had some problems getting on board technically, but we assume they will be joining us soon. Certainly their general manager is very interested in this discussion. It's a matter of trying to figure out how to implement it regularly, that this discussion would help people become informed and address whatever needs to be done to preserve the network.
And that's PacificaMatters.net. We have access to the Internet. You can hear that conversation taking place.
Repeat that information.
PacificaMatters.net.
Okay.
Pacifica, PacificaMatters.net.
Okay.
All right, so
PacificaMatters.net.
Mm-hmm.
.net. And our telephone number here is 212-209-2900 WBAI. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello. I have been listening, and I think this is an excellent discussion. And my question is to all of you, what possible guidelines could we put in to our new democratic provisions to give the general managers of the station a guideline? A guideline so that they don't go astray. You know, as a producer once said on WBAI, we do live under capitalism, and there are tremendous pressures for doing the wrong thing. So what guidelines do you suggest that we could give our general managers so that they stay on track? I mean, I like a lot of stuff that Valerie did, and I like some things she didn't do. And that also goes for other managers. So what's your idea? What's your take on it? Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Well, my thought about it is that the managers have to be answerable to somebody who has a sense of policy and direction. Either the local boards or the national board needs to be able and needs to be democratically elected, and then needs to be, and fundamentally must have a sense of the purposes of Pacifica. So I think the local boards should have hiring and firing powers over the station manager. My belief, though, is that you give somebody a job, you let them do it, you critique it, see if you can improve it, and if you don't like how they do the job, you fire them and get somebody else.
Yeah, I would say that the first step is in selection of the individual who's going to, then that's where the test comes, is that you have to pick the person who has demonstrated history of participation within that very process, not just somebody with administrative qualification. But my own bias is that I believe that the lab should be the one that should have the ability to limit the power of the station manager, and that the board would come in only really if that process fails for some
reason. That's what I say.
As a last resort.
That's what I say too, Ray. Yeah.
I also agree. I think that the control or the discussion or the decisions over the general manager should be located as locally as possible. And should, for some reason, that the board not recognize that the general manager is not protecting the mission of the Pacifica or the interests of the community or the voices of the producers or the union strength of the producers, that the community be entitled to initiate recall. I think the power of referenda should be in the community's hands.
Okay, moving on. Next call.
WBAI, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. This is Fahima Sek. I'm a volunteer programmer at WPFW in Washington, D.C., but a transplant from New York. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, great to hear you.
Yeah, I've been listening to the program. I think it was a great idea to do that. But I have a question for you, Hapti Selassie.
Yes.
In light of all the events that have came out about the squandering of the finances, the spying on some of the people that you've worked with over the years, how can you, in good conscience, still support the Christmas coup?
Because you were not listening. You understand? You were not listening. And I think people seem to be arrested in the idea that I supported it. You know, that is all you seem to, then you personally and anybody else, is that that is it. You know, As I said, my actions, my position, and it still remains the same. That is, prior to December, whatever the date was of 2000.
The 22nd.
I said that Valerie Van Isla's manager of WBAI had to go. That is what I said.
Okay.
Okay? And essentially that is it.
Okay, that's post-December 22nd, but a lot of all the information that's come out in terms of the harassment and all of the spying on your colleagues.
And that seems to have gone both ways.
Okay, but it's not
as simplistic
as
just if I may, please. I decided to host this program, not to have myself then cross-examined about my position. If you want to talk to me about my position, wait a second, please. 212-209-2992. That's my voicemail. You can leave a number. I will call you back and we can go through this, because I think it is, first of all, in terms of me doing this program, one of the things that I insisted on was that I didn't really want to host a program for this type of discussion. I was hoping that it would be something that, instead of calling, let me say, Haptah Selassie's position into question, that we take the opportunity to provide information to listeners. That is me.
Okay.
Now, as I say, if anybody else wants to debate with me about anything, I just gave a number. I'll talk to anybody about anything. We're not afraid.
Going to call you after midnight, but let me just say, I didn't call to attack you. I merely asked you a question, Hafty. I've known you for a number of years,
I
wasn't attacking
Notice I didn't say you were attacking me. I'm saying that I would prefer to have the discussion continue in the vein that it started here.
That's fine. I'm going to time up, but I just want to say, I mean, you made public what your position is, and again, I wanted to know in public why you still maintain that position in light of all the events. It's very possible that...
Like I say, again, if you call me, I'll explain to you and everybody else that is curious. 209-2992. Right now, we'd like to discuss about the labs, about the interim board, about elections, about Pacifica, not about Haptah Selassie or Haptah Selassie's position, regardless of whatever it is. Okay?
I'll call you after midnight.
Yeah, the number that is going to be my voicemail. I'll call you back some other time. And that goes for everybody else too. And I would appreciate it out of some courtesy, not for me, but for the people who are listening, that we have a discussion about the issue that is then on the table. I think my position stated, it might not be as clear as I think it is, but try to just, in a sense for right now, just leave me out of it and pursue the discussion of the topic, which is Pacifica. WBA, are you on the air? Hello.
Hi, my name is Sheila Hamanaka. I'm calling from Rockland County. I'd like to thank everyone for being on the air to talk about the station. Hi.
Hello.
Hi there.
I'm speaking to the mic, please.
Okay, I'm calling to support more participation on the part of your listeners for programming. I live in the suburbs, and we've found in the past it's very difficult, even now, to get our news on the air. And, I believe, the suburbs consist of at least 10 million people around the station, and yet there's very little coverage of what's going on out here. It's not just malls and, rich people, et cetera, et cetera. There are many, many issues that involve millions of people. And, the programming right now, I think there needs to be some kind of a survey done of who's on the air and what are they talking about, to see if it really reflects the demographic of who New York City is, who the people are and where they live. For example, is there any children's programming? Is there any elderly programming on the air? And I'd like to know what we can do to get a voice on the air. Right now, I know there's a programming council, but it seems I don't even know who's on it. So I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, can I answer?
Go ahead. Yeah.
It seems to me that one of the ways to do it is exactly what we're talking. It is a programming council. There are already now two members of the lab who are from New Jersey and Rockland County. And so what we need is a larger representation on the lab and a bigger input from the lab within the council. And that's at least one of the ways to achieve it. I seem to have, maybe it's just coincidence, that I listened to the news today and yesterday, and maybe the day before, and Sears was commenting, and there were reports from Rockland County, and I don't know if you heard that. So I was hoping that was a new trend.
Well, I think when we have elected local boards, I hate to beat a dead keep riding the same horse, but elected local boards bring these issues to the forefront. And it was after our KPFA local board became elected that we started negotiating with our programming council to get some seats to raise exactly the same issue that you just raised, Sheila, about the suburbs here around the Bay, San Francisco Bay Area. There are many diverse communities, not just in Berkeley, that have a lot of issues that need to be addressed on our station as well. And so we're bringing those issues to the programming council.
Okay. Let me do this.
If music is a universal language, then St. Croix's super reggae band Midnight has spoken fluently. Formed in 1989 by the brothers Vaughn and Ron Benjamin, already a local phenomenon in parts of the Americas and the Caribbean region, and a band on the verge of becoming a household name in the international scene. Join the Midnight Ravers on Friday, March 22, 2002, from 12 midnight to 3 a.m. on WBAI 99.5 in New York City, as we present from St. Croix, U.S. Virgin Islands, reggae's most exciting roots band, Midnight. Featured will be tracks from live performances from their recent critically acclaimed U.S. tour. That's on Friday, March 22, 2002, 12 midnight to 3 a.m., right here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.
The Midnight Ravers, where every show is a special.
Midnight Ravers, where every show is a special, but that one won't be, will it, Terry?
All right, well, it's 11:50 p.m. here at WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM. Wait, before you go to the phone call, as we're getting close to wrapping up here, I want to get some ways for that listeners can plug into this process here. So those who have
you don't want to take another call and then we could...
Well, I want to get this information out first because okay. This is important for people to plug into this process here.
Okay.
Copies of the settlement that we've been talking about this evening are available on two websites. The first one is WBAI.net. That's www.wbai.net, N-E-T. And it's also available on www.pacifica.org, P-A-C-I-F-I-C-A.org. That's the official Pacifica website.
Sean?
Yes, ma'am.
We're creating a web page at the Pacifica website now with resource documents for the bylaws committee.
Oh, very good.
At www.pacifica.org, near the top it says bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
You click on that, and there are a whole bunch of documents we're putting up now. And we'll also be putting up contact information for all the committee and subcommittee chairs and that kind of thing.
Okay. And for those who don't have access to the Internet, what I'm willing to do in this process is to actually fax you a copy of the settlement. Just call my voicemail, 212-209-2957, 212-209-2957, and leave your information, and I will fax a copy of the settlement to you. Ray, do you have any information about meetings or such?
As we said earlier, there's a co-chair, so I don't want to move too far without her.
Right.
However, and some of the difficulties that we also have the lab involved, and so we have to move very quickly. I wanted to say first that what happened tonight is very important, but people should also understand that there's going to be a very formal way of having the discussions, not only within the community, but also on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's already pretty much a given is that out of the last meeting of the coordinating committee of the concerned friend of WBAI, it was decided that the 11th of April, there will be a town meeting. And at this point, because we're falling behind, I suspect that that might be, unless we have a small meeting, informal meeting, where we lay down the different guidelines and so on and get a feel for the issues, which I would hope would happen. But that definitely, that seemed to be the first major meeting that we're going to have.
And where is that?
Which will be, well, the place has yet to be determined.
Okay.
As Carol said earlier, there will be a minimum of 3 days of being announced. I already spoke to Bernard about this, but clearly we're going to need much more than that.
And other
people actually do know that this event is taking place, and that will be a venue for to participate, come, you know, bring their own views and learn.
And this will be announced on the air and on the list, various listservs?
Absolutely. Many times. There will be cards made.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I'd also like to say that anyone with email access can email me, and my email address is wildrose, WILDROSE, at PON.net. And I will be sending out announcements to a list of people who've expressed interest. And if you'd like to receive those announcements, email me and I'll put you on the list.
Great. Okay.
Go ahead. I'm kind of missing my thought. But, the thought is this, that I would hope that something could be done at each station here at BAI, too, that would define what the local advisory board is, what its functions are,
yeah,
and so on, so that you know, it is not then just the lab, you know, because sometimes we say things and we assume that everybody knows, because we know everybody else knows exactly what it is, what its functions are, its relationship then in terms of local governance, that is its relationship to the station, and also its relationship to the national board. I think that those things are important. Matter of fact, I would say imperative for people to get an understanding of, since we're talking about democratization of the station, of a process of trying to involve listeners. I think that that type of thing has to happen, where there is this ongoing. There was, I think, in 1999 it was, or 1998, when it was the anniversary, I think the 40th anniversary of something here, that there were some cards that were made about some individuals and programs and events that had taken place or that happened on the airwaves of the various Pacifica stations, and they were sometimes long, you know, 5 minutes and more. So I think that something like that could be done, where time would be given, especially in these months ahead, because you say that elections have to take place come December. I think that is what you said, Sean.
December 29th.
That in the forthcoming days and weeks and months, that people are informed and then given an opportunity then through that information to be participants in this process.
Yeah.
Carol, what is the time frame we're looking at to make all of this happen in terms of the bylaws and elections guidelines and approval and all that stuff?
Well, under the legal settlement agreement, we're supposed to have lab elections completed by December 29th, and 3 months later a new national board is supposed to be elected. Our experience at KPFA is that it takes 3 months to conduct an election. You need about 30 days to recruit candidates, let people know that they can run for the election, another 30 days for public education so that people can hear from the candidates and read their statements and talk to them and have some forums on the air, and another 30 days to mail out the ballots and have people mail them back and count them. So we need our new bylaws approved no later than September 1st, which is a very tight schedule.
Mm.
So I'm hoping that we can meet that schedule. That's our goal for this committee, is to have the bylaws written and all the approvals by September 1st. If it is not possible, then we may, under our legal settlement, ask the court for an extension. We don't really want to. I think this interim situation, where we don't have elected boards, needs to come to an end as quickly as possible. So I hope we can meet the schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
It will be met.
Okay.
And
time's up.
I think this is where we say goodnight, yes.
Okay.
I have some contact information.
Oh, please.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I would like to encourage people to call the station to ask for more programs where we can discuss these matters, and that would be 209-2800, 212-209-2800. You can look on the websites of www.wbai.net and WBAI Elections at yahoogroups.com. If listeners have any suggestions about governance or any of these issues, they can call 212-465-7562 and leave information. And if you want to know about the discussion that we are planning to initiate on governance of local matters of governance to be scrutinized nationally, and national matters of governance to be discussed by all five local stations at once, go to www.pacificamatters.net.
Thank you.
PacificaMatters.net.
Yeah.
I think that will lead you to a lot of things, and Pacifica, if you type Pacifica in, you'll come to a lot of things, and also to WBAI, whether it's org or net, and you'll also come to a lot of things. I would like to thank Andrea Fishman, Ray LaForest, Carol Spooner, and of course the gentleman here, what's his name, Sean Rhodes. I would like to thank you all for coming, first of all, for participating, and Sean, for the work you did.
Thank you.
Thank you also very much, and we want to say it, but don't hold me to it. Maybe we should do something like this again.
Yeah.
And Particularly, I would like to thank Ray for coming. In spite of everything, I think it's good that you're here, and
you had the dialogue. That's what.
That is precisely because I wanted to get something like this done. That is where people could get some information, and I figure that if we are committed to the process of information, particularly working.